We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Jesus went up into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came on him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman taking an adultery, and when they said in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taking an adultery, and so on. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Now the law was clear. It's a definite thing. Thou shalt not steal, that's clear. All the laws that govern the Israelites, God's chosen race of people, those laws which came from God. The law that Moses gave them, he spent days and days with Almighty God getting the law from God, and was chosen to head up a race. And did you know something? When God chooses a man to do a job, he gives a man wisdom to do the job. You know, I never interfere with a man who is called of God to do a job. I never sit back and sit in judgment upon him if he's accomplishing the purposes which he's called. I figure he knows what he's doing. I never kick these fellows around if they have a job. Now, for instance, you take in the history of Bob Jones University. I look back now. Certain things that came up in the history of this school, where God Almighty, in a strange way, miraculously led us. Because it was his work which poor, stumbling human beings were trying to do for him and his glory. And in a critical moment, God gave wisdom. And some of the things that we were criticized most about in the early days of the school were the things that made the institution what it is. And the guiding hand of God has come all the time. Now, if God's called you to something, now listen, if he's called you to something, he'll give you wisdom, if you want wisdom, if that's what you want. Now, if you get ambitious for yourself, that's different. But if you want wisdom, or do God's will, he'll give you wisdom. God gives wisdom to every person called of God to do any kind of a job, so that person can do that job. Now, you don't have to worry about that. And if you attend to your own job, you wouldn't have so much time bothering about other people. You know, a man, somebody said, who tends to his own business doesn't have time to tend to anybody else's business. All right, now we go ahead here and find where Moses said to him, they said, the law commanded that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Now notice, this they said, not to get information. That wasn't what they were after. They were hypocrites and humbugs, that's all. They talked to wise as if they were lawyers, you know, and they themselves weren't keeping the law. And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and his finger rolled on the ground, and though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and rolled on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, oh, how those words must have burned into their souls. What searching words. Can you get the picture? You know, we read these things and they don't really get hold of us. Now here's a poor woman. I've often thought about that woman. I wonder what kind of mother she had. I wonder what her background was. I wonder how she was brought up. I wonder what part of the town she lived in. I wonder if her mother's away at worldly parties sometimes, leaving the girl exposed to all kinds of temptation. I wonder if her mother sent her off somewhere to maybe a finishing school to polish you up a little socially. I wonder what her background was. You just wonder so much about it. But now the Lord knew all about it. And there they were there. And I can see him. It's a pitiful picture. There's nothing so tragic as that. A woman of sin. You know, the best thing outside of heaven is a pure, good woman. And the worst thing outside of hell is a bad woman. You know, as far as sin's concerned, in relation to God, the sin of man, the sin of woman's the same. There's no difference as far as relation to God's concerned. But you know, many women, a woman has more soul. And when she does go, when she does go down, oh, how rapidly she degrades herself into sin. And when the flowers of modesty wither in her cheek and the lust of innocence and purity go out of her heart, what a tragic picture. Here's a woman in sin. Law said that that type of woman there, living that type of life, should be stoned. That's a clear-cut law. Now, they were there, and he looked at him and said, all right. He didn't question the law. He just said, now, any man here is without sin, you get up and throw the rock first time. And he condemned the whole crowd. You know, the law condemns everybody. There isn't a man that's ever lived that isn't condemned by the law somewhere. Now, the law condemns you. Now, notice what it says. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Has God always been first in your life? He hasn't. He may not be even now. All right, then, you're an idolater. Civilization may change a man's idols, but every man has an idol. You can't live without a God of some kind. You have to have a God. Everybody has a God. And sometimes it's a pretty respectable God. May not be appetite, may not be the sin this woman committed. But there's something else that dominates you. It may be pride. You know, pride looks mighty nice, you know, but pride goeth before destruction, the haughty spirit before fall. Now, everybody's sin. The wage of sin is death. And the Bible said everybody's guilty. Now, you guilty. I'm guilty. Not a one of us is without sin. See, every last one of us has sometime trampled upon the law of God. We may have taken his name in vain. We may have coveted something somebody. Your neighbor may have an automobile, and you sit there at home and pout because you haven't a new one too, you see. And you'd take hers if you could. And you'd covet what she has. And sometimes you know how it is. You know we all belong to the human race, you know. So the law condemns us all. Now, Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He does condemn the world. He's coming back sometime to judge the world. He came to the world to save people. He came to do what the law couldn't do. The law can't save anybody because every human being on earth has at some time broken the law. That young man came to Jesus and said, "Good master," he said, "why you call me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God." And he said, "Won't know, you know, that man won't know what how to inherit eternal life." And Jesus told him what to do, you know, see? Told him what to do. And he said, "I've kept the law all my life." And Jesus went on and said to him, he is a liar. You know, you can sin in the heart. You know, God looks at the heart. No man can look through the eye of God and tell God he's never done wrong. Everybody has it sometime. You may have been outwardly. You may be just a stickler for outward decency. You may go to a prayer meeting, and you may read your Bible, and you may do all that kind of thing, you know. But you know in your heart that you've broken the law of God. Every one of us, I stand guilty of having broken the law. So these men were guilty. These religious leaders were guilty. They'd broken the law. These fellows were fighting for the law, had lived to break the law themselves. And he said, "All right, now, you want to throw a stone at her. What about you? Have you kept the law of Moses?" The man that never broke the law, pick up a rock and throw it. And there they were. And the thing was so powerful and so heart-searching, it touched their conscience. And they said to themselves, "We can't throw that rock, because we are guilty ourselves." You know, I've told you so many times that the sin that a man commits is a sin he's been tempted to commit, see? And some people that think they're so wonderful and sweet and good and nice have sinned against a holy God in some ways that may have been more refined than the sins of other people. But everybody stands guilty before God in his own natural position as he stands up to face the world. Fellas come to me and say, "I'm as good as some church members." You can be as good as church members I know and go to hell. That won't get you a thing in the world. And all that kind of talk won't take you anywhere at all. Now, Jesus said to the woman, after he got up, he said, "Where are your accusers?" "They're gone." Well, Jesus said, now, wait a minute. He didn't condone a sin. I want to make that clear. I heard a man one time stand up and speak about this, a politician. And he made every bad woman and every bad underworld character there feel like it was perfectly wonderful, perfectly all right with Jesus and be that way. It isn't the way of truth in it. Jesus never condoned sin. He doesn't look on sin with the least degree of allowance. He never did wink at sin. But he took that woman where she was. And I believe in my heart that the regenerating power of God touched her. He said, now, if they haven't condemned you, I won't either. He didn't come in the world to condemn the world. He came in the world to save man. That's what he came for. He came to save people. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You just turn a new leaf now. Don't sin anymore. I've been here. I'm here. I kept them from stoning you. I'm here to save you the world. I kept them throwing rock at you. You'd have been killed by lawbreakers themselves that haven't kept the law of Moses. I was here. Now, wait a minute. We'd all gone to hell if he hadn't come. Every last one of us. There'd be nobody in heaven if he hadn't come. Did you know, and I haven't time to discuss it, I wish I could go into it, but there's something that people ought to understand. Did you know when Jesus descended into hell, they say in the creed, well, paradise was a compartment of Hades or Sheol. And all the folks in Sheol, or that compartment, which is paradise, separated from the place of suffering. Wicked dead went to the place of suffering. The good people went to paradise, and they were separated by a gulf, you know. But they hadn't gone to heaven. They had been there in paradise, you see, in paradise. A compartment of Sheol or Hades. That took in the whole region in those days, where the paradise and also the other. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he took them up into the Father's presence. See? They were taken out of paradise. He led a multitude of captives captive and took them up into the presence of God the Father. And that's where they are now, see? Now when we die, we Christians, we go straight home. No intermediate state, no stopping on the way. It's absent from the body, present with the Lord now for a Christian. We desire, Paul said, depart be with Christ, which is far better. All right. Now, Jesus Christ didn't condone her sin. Let's get that clear now. Don't let anybody fool you about it. He condemned the men that walked away. Not a word about their following him. Not a single word about it. They walked away, guilty as they could be, and they knew it. And yet they walked away because, as guilty as they were, their consciences wouldn't let them. So they're off. And Jesus said, now, you can go on from now and live right. Isn't that a wonderful gospel lesson? I look back on my life, and you look back on yours, and all behind us there's sins and mistakes and blunders. But I look into the future, and all the pages of all the tomorrows are clean. They're not blotted. They're not soiled. Go on and don't sin anymore. Now, wait a minute. The grace of God that could set this woman free can set you and me free. The grace of God that could deliver her can deliver us. Jesus Christ never told a person to do something he can't do, and he never told him not to do something that he had to do. This woman didn't have to live that life. You don't have to live it. You may be a sinner, but you don't have to be a sinner. God Almighty, by his grace, can turn sinners into saints. And by the grace of God, you can start over again. Whatever may have been your life, whatever may have been your failure, whatever you may have done, however you may have lived, from this day henceforward, you can be what you ought to be by the grace of a good God. You may make mistakes. If you take your eye off of Jesus, you'll fall into sin. But you can keep your eye on Jesus and live a life of victory. There is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape. There's a way of escape, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who provides the escape. He'll deliver you from the past and cover your sins and under his blood and let you start. All of you, never mind who you are, never mind what you've done, how you live. And from this day on, by the grace of God, you can be what you ought to be. O Lord Jesus, we thank thee for thy grace, thy love, thy mercy, thy saving power. We thank thee for thy atoning blood. We've all sinned, but we came to thee one day to trust thee. And you took us in because we didn't have any claim except our sin. And you bore that sin in your body on the cross, and you were our Savior. We're sorry we haven't been better Christians. But we thank thee we've had a wonderful Savior that's been so good to us. And when we've come around and asked him to forgive us, he's forgiven us. And we thank thee for the victory you have in him. Bless all who are listening today. Keep us faithful and true, and lead us by thy Spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.